The human body is an amazing creation of God. Amazing. The human body is incredibly complex and intricate, and it still baffles the scientists and those that study the body, been studying for thousands of years, and we still don't know a lot of how some of the processes work within the human body. It's amazing. The adult human body has approximately 1 trillion cells. Oh, what, 1 trillion? 100 trillion cells in your body. One cell contains 6 billion steps of DNA. One strand of DNA, at least I've read this, contains enough information to fill 26 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Your body is amazing. The human brain is a complex organ. It's more complex than the greatest computers that have ever been invented. It's the nerve control center of the body, and yet the human brain has no nerves. Did you know that? Human brain can't feel pain. And yet it's the nerve center. The number of neurons are estimated in the brain to be 100 billion neurons in the brain. Nerve impulses travel from your body up to the brain at a speed of 250 miles per hour. That's faster than the Formula One race cars. That's your brain. And your brain is composed of 60% fat. So if somebody calls you a fathead, they're right, and that might be a compliment, you know? It's amazing what the brain can do. The human heart. What an amazing organ is the human heart. No scientist, no mechanical engineer, where's Josh Sudry here? No mechanical engineer has ever created a pump like your heart that beats at 100,000 beats per day. 36,500,000 beats per year. And in a normal, in an average lifespan, over 2.5 billion times, your heart beats. And every day it pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through your system. That blood travels through 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. That's enough. That's over 2 times around the world at the equator. That's how long blood vessels are in your body. Is that amazing? That's amazing. The human eye. Your eye is composed of over 2 million working parts. Did you realize that? The human eye. And your eye, an average eye, can see a candle flicker in the night 14 miles away. That's amazing stuff. Now, a couple other facts about your amazing body. Your feet have over 500,000 sweat glands, which can produce up to 1 pint of sweat per day, which can be a problem because your nose can smell and remember 50,000 different senses. I'll tell you what, the human body, and I could go on, just go on the computer and put in the human body, amazing facts, and just look at all the stuff about your body. Amazing! It's amazing, the body that God has given to us. Today in our text, the Apostle Paul refers to the human body and he uses it to teach us something about another body. So would you take your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'd like to read verses 12 through 27. And it's always good to get a little exercise, so why don't you stand up? You can't fall asleep while you're standing. Well, you could, but it's dangerous, right? So 1 Corinthians 12, I'd like to read verses 12 down through verse 27. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Lord, I pray today, as we just consider these words in your word, Lord, show us, teach us, Holy Spirit, how precious is the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You remember, we've been away from Corinthians a couple weeks, but you remember that we're in a section that Paul is dealing with problems in the church. And he's dealing here in this section with spiritual gifts and their proper use in the church. And he speaks here of the church as the body of Christ. The body of Christ. In fact, he uses the word body 18 times as he shares with the Corinthians, and he shares with us at Faith Bible Fellowship an analogy from anatomy. An analogy from anatomy. And I want to look at what he has to say. He talks about the human body, but comparing it to the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And I'd like to share with you four truths about the body of Christ. And truth number one is, in the body of Christ, there is unity. Unity, verses 12 and 13. The human body, we have a lot of parts. Head, arms, torso, stomach, etc. We have a lot of parts in the body, but my body is one. I mean, after the holidays and after I ate, it might look like it's two, but it is one. We only have one body, right? Many parts, one body. And Paul here says there is one body, one body. The church is one body. Now, I'm just going to state now that when he says we are the body of Christ, he's saying that, you know what, the church is an organism. It's not an organization. We are not like the Kiwanis Club. We are not like the Shriners or the Knights of Columbus. We are, listen, a living growing, active organism. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. One body speaks of the church universal. That the one body of Christ consists of every true believer all around the world. Amen. All around the world. It doesn't matter the race, the color, the gender, the socioeconomic condition. It doesn't matter. Denomination. It doesn't matter. It's all true believers in Jesus Christ. All true believers are the one church. By the way, we've got denominations down here. But when we get to heaven, no denominations. There's only one denomination in heaven, the Church of the United Brethren. That's the only denomination in heaven. There's no denominations. Down here, we are the church. And you know what's interesting? If you ever get a chance to travel around the world and you meet believers in other countries, do you know what? Right away, and I've had this experience, I've been to 18 or 19 different countries, but when you meet believers, there's an instant bond. You can tell, even if you can't speak their language. When I was in Davao City in the Philippines and went to the evangelical church there, we sang Amazing Grace. Half of us were singing in English. I think about half. Half were singing in Chinese. And we were one. Because there's one body. It's all the believers all around the world consist of the one body of Christ. He says, we are the body of Christ. Do you see verse 27? Now you are Christ's body. And individually members of it. I want us to think of this. We are Christ's body. We're the body of Christ. In fact, look at verse 12, because he says it in a very interesting way in verse 12. He says, for even as the body is one, and yet as many members, and all the members are of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the church. That's what you'd expect him to say. But he says what? So also is Christ. Do you hear what he's saying? Listen, church, the church is Christ incarnate on planet Earth now. Christ doesn't live anymore. God doesn't live in a tabernacle or a temple. And Jesus Christ bodily right now is not here. His physical body. But he is here in the church because we're his body. As someone has said, he has no other hands than our hands to do his work today. He has no other feet than our feet to lead men in his way. He has no other voice but our voice to tell men how he died. He has no other help than our help to lead men to his side. We're the body of Christ. We're Christ in the world. We're the church. That's amazing. That is just, I read that and that's amazing. You know, God taught Paul this right from the get-go, didn't he? You remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus? And you know what? I love this. He interrupted him with his grace. I remember how he interrupted me with his grace back in 1970. Yes, I wasn't even seeking him and he interrupted. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's what he does. And I pray if there's anybody here that does not know the Lord, may he interrupt you today. Amen. In his grace. But he interrupted Paul and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? Is that what he said? No, what did he say?
Verse persecuting me.
Why are you persecuting me? Because to persecute the church is to persecute Jesus. We're his body. We're the body of Christ here on earth. And Paul knew that. The body of Christ. Let me tell you this. There's not two bodies of Christ. There's only one body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. There's one body. There's unity because there's one body. But how do you get into the body? There's one baptism. Do you see it in verse 13? Look at 13. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free. One baptism. Now, folks, that's not talking about water baptism. Because there are all kind of ways that people water baptize. This is talking about spirit baptism. There's one baptism. We've all been baptized by one Spirit into one body. How do we get into the body of Christ? How do you get into the church? Well, you receive Christ as your Savior. And when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you into the body of Christ. We've all been baptized. If you're a Christian, you've been baptized into the body of Christ. It happens at conversion. He baptizes us. He incorporates us into the church. That's why, and that happens at conversion. That's why no place in the New Testament do you find that the Bible says that a believer should seek to be baptized in the Spirit. Why is that? Because we already have been. If you're a Christian, you've been baptized in the Spirit and by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And there's only one baptism. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. You don't become a part of Christ's body by applying for membership. Now, we're going to have a membership class next week. We're going to start a membership class. And if you want to identify with the local body, that's good. Come to the membership class. But you don't get into the universal body of Christ by going to a membership class. You don't do it by paying dues. You don't get in by joining even a local church. There's a lot of people that are members of a local church that aren't in the body of Christ. Amen. Oh, there are. You get in by the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he baptizes you into the body of Christ. And guess what? When he does that, you become lifetime members. Amen. Lifetime members. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There is one body. There is one baptism. And there's one drink. One drink. Do you see there? Yes. He says, for by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, you've all, note that all been made to drink of one Spirit. You see, what happens when a person receives Christ? The Holy Spirit comes into us. He interpenetrates our spirit and regenerates us. Our spirits were dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And the Spirit of God came into my heart. He regenerated me. And I, guess what? I was born again. I was born again by the Holy Spirit. And I received the Spirit of God. He came in and indwelt my body. I drank of one Spirit. The Spirit came into my life. And when he comes in, he regenerates us. He gives us new life. He indwells us. We are now, listen, you are, if you're a Christian, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you're the naos of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You know what that is? The Holy of Holies. You're Holy of Holies. You're where God lives. He indwells us. The Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. My, oh my, oh my. Isn't that wonderful? What an amazing body. We are one. Now, I want to make some application here before we go on. First of all, there are, listen to this, there are no have-nots in the body. You're all haves. You're all haves. There's no have-nots in the body of Christ. If anyone ever comes up to you and says, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What are you going to tell them?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah, I have. The moment I believed, he baptized me into the body of Christ. Well, did you really receive the Spirit? I know you received Jesus, but did you receive the Spirit? Oh, yeah, I have. Because we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. Romans 8:9 says what? However, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in us. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's not a Christian. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christian. You can't receive Christ and not receive the Spirit of the living God. Amen. When you receive Christ, the Spirit comes within you. Well, wouldn't you like a little more? Someone might come and say, wouldn't you like a little more? Well, I got news for you. He comes fully into your heart. And when you are a Christian, and if you are a Christian, you're complete in Christ. You can't get more of the Spirit. He can get more you. Huh? He can get more you. And hopefully every day he's getting a little more and a little more. But you can't get more of him. We have received of one Spirit. You see, folks, there is amazing unity. Just like the body is one, the body of Christ is one. We have one body, one baptism, and we have one Spirit that indwells us. We have great unity in the body of Christ. Amen? We do. We do. And we, you know, that's something you cannot manufacture. You can't do stuff to make unity in the body. People try to make unity in the body. You can't do it. We have it. All we have to do is maintain it. And I'll tell you, we do have to maintain it. Because we have an enemy that would like to come in and drive wedges in the body. He likes to divide the body. If you can divide the body, I'll tell you what, that body's not going to function very well. So we've got to be careful. We have got to maintain. We've got to watch out. We don't want Satan in any way to use us to make divisions in the body of Christ. But we have wonderful, amazing unity in Jesus Christ. Well, in the body of Christ, there is unity. Secondly, in the body of Christ, there is amazing diversity. Diversity. Verse 14 states, for the body is not one member, but many. Just like the human body, there's a lot of parts. Parts and great diversity. He says, listen, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. What do you note about that? If the foot should say, I mean, my feet don't talk. They smell, but they don't talk. And I think Paul's kind of, I think, maybe a little levity here, you know? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. You know, I mean, hands can pick things up. I don't pick anything up. Hands can shake. I can't shake. You know, hands can, you know, can comfort people. Hands can do so many things. I'm just an old foot. Nobody wants to shake a foot. You want to shake my foot?
Okay.
No. Nobody wants to shake a foot. I'm just a smelly old foot. People walk on me all the time. I'm not a hand. I'm not necessary. What would you say to Mr. Foot? Oh, Mr. Foot! You are important, Mr. Foot. Without you, we couldn't get around. Without you, we couldn't walk. We'd have no balance. We couldn't run. In fact, without you, Mr. Foot, we couldn't walk across the street and tell somebody about Jesus. You know, oh, Mr. Foot, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Mr. Foot, you're important to the body. You're important to the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. You know, eyes are beautiful. They come in all different colors. I'm just the same all the time. You know, and even people sometimes wear long hair and nobody even sees me. Good. I'm just an ear. I'm not an eye. I'm not part of the body. I mean, people go around saying, oh boy, she has beautiful eyes. No one ever comes and says, man, you got amazing ears, Mike. Wow. Woo. Boy, are they wonderful. I'm just an ear. I'm not an eye. I'm not part of the body. Oh, wait a second, Mr. Ear. Wait. You're important. You are so important. Because without you, we couldn't hear. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we didn't have you, we couldn't hear the gospel. If we didn't have you, we couldn't listen and sympathize and empathize with people. Oh, Mr. Ear, you are needed. The point is, folks, you know what? Every one of us are parts of the body. And every one of us is necessary. Amen. You are important. Folks, you are important to the well-being of the body of Christ. You are. I don't care if you're a hand, a foot, a toe. I don't care what you are. You're important. I don't care if you're young or old. You're important. Your functioning in the body is important. We need all the gifted people of God. All the gifted people of God. All have a function to perform. All are important. All are necessary. But you know when the problem comes? What's Mr. Foot doing there and Mr. Ear? What are they doing in the text? Comparing themselves. You know when problems happen? When we start comparing ourselves with other people in the body. That's not good. You know, when we compare ourselves with other people in the body, other gifted people, one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to compare ourselves with people that aren't quite as gifted as we are. And what's that going to bring? Pride. Boy, aren't I good. You know? Or if we compare ourselves with people that are more gifted, or we look at least as more gifted than we are, what's that going to bring? Jealousy. Inferiority, depression. Oh, I can't minister. I can't do it as good as he does. So I'll just go sit on the sidelines. I'll tell you what, don't compare yourself with anybody else. You are unique. God planned you to be you. And God gave you gifts that are important for the body of Christ. And it's important that we use those gifts. There's a need here for diversity. If we didn't have all the parts of the body wouldn't work well. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? If everyone, all the members performed only one function, then needs wouldn't get met in the church, in the body of Christ. The body consisting of an eye or an ear would be a monstrosity. Let's take a look at what it would look like. If we all were the same and all had the same gift, boy, I want to be an eye. Eyes are pretty. Look how pretty, eyes are generally pretty. Do you see the eye would see things that needed to be done, couldn't do them. Let's see another picture here. Well, oh, that's a pretty eye, huh? Oh, I wish, boy, I'm not an eye. Oh, I'm not part of the body. No, but you see, if it was like that, things wouldn't get done, right? Or if we had another, I don't know where those trash cans came in, but you know what? If it was just an ear, now that has a little eyeballs on there, but that's it. You're just an ear. You could hear things, but again, things would not get done. The body wouldn't function right. So we need to have diversity in the body. And look at verses 18 through 20. God designed the body to be this one, to be diverse. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, into the body just as he desired. See, if we picked our own spiritual gifts and we picked what ministry we wanted to do, I'll tell you what, it would be like that eyeball or like that ear. Things wouldn't get done. Vital ministries wouldn't take place. Do we need preachers and teachers in the church? Yeah, we do. We do. And thank God, we need preachers and teachers. But do we need those with the gift of mercy and the gift of compassion to go minister to the sick and to the hurting? Do we need the gift of encouragement? I'll tell you what, boy, do we need the gift of encouragement. The Bible says encourage one another day after day as long as it's called today. Lest your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Boy, do we need encouragement. I'll tell you what, people in this church, there's many people that have the gift of encouragement. They send out cards. They call on the telephone. They encourage people in the body of Christ. Do we need that? Yes. Do we need the gifts of giving? Do we need the gift of helps? Service, administration. You know, I said the body is an organism, not an organization. But you know, an organism with no organization is dead. That's what happens when your body dies. It disorganizes. So do we need gifts of administration? Oh, yes. Do we need gifts of evangelism? Oh, my. We do. We need all the diversity of the body. You know what's beautiful? It's beautiful for me to watch you and to see all these gifts being used in the body of Christ. Man, I guess I see it probably more than you, all you guys do. And I know how people are ministering behind the scenes. Some people, you don't even know what they're doing. It's just beautiful to see the diversity of the gifts and of the talents being used in the body of Christ. Amazing. The body of Christ is beautiful. It's amazing. Well, the body of Christ, there's unity. In the body of Christ, there's diversity. Thirdly, in the body of Christ, there's interdependence. And verse 20 through 25, again, in the human body, every part needs the other parts for the body to function properly. Everything is intricately interdependent. Look at verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The eye may see something that needs to be picked up, but it can't pick it up without the hand. The head may think that someone across the street needs help, but it can't get over there unless the feet and the legs carry it over there. In a similar way, the Lord has designed the church, listen, to be interdependent. Listen to this. Listen to me. We need each other. Folks, we need each other. If we are going to grow in the Lord and we are going to be the church that God wants us to be, we need other Christians. We need each other. Sometimes we needle each other, but we need each other. Listen to me, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And I can't understand today. I just can't understand it. Linda and I, we puzzle over this a lot. How anybody can say, I'm a Christian, I just don't go to church. I'm just not involved with church in any way. What? That's like saying, I'm a soldier, I just don't belong to the army. What? I'll tell you, to grow as a Christian, we need each other. God has not created anyone who is so gifted and so mature that he or she can do it alone. Self-sufficient. No one can say, I do not need other parts of the body. We all need each other to grow and that the body of Christ would function properly. All parts are necessary. You know, even the parts that seem to be weaker are necessary. We know the brain, the heart, and a lot of the big parts are necessary. But you know what? Toes are necessary. If you don't have your toes, it's hard to walk, hard to run, hard to keep your balance. You know what else is necessary? Your thumbs. You can't see this probably, but there's a big bump on my hand, on my thumb right here. That's when I dove into second base, playing for the church softball team, and broke my thumb. By the way, the next play, I stayed in. I think Dave Bailey made me stay in the game. And the next player hit it out to left field on a line drive. And whoever's coaching, you might have been coaching third base, waved me around. So I went into home and dove into home. Oh. Yeah. I forgive you. And you know what? For 8 weeks, my hand was in a cast. I could move the upper fingers like this, and that thumb was wrapped up. Boy, do you find out how important your thumb is when you can't use your thumb. Just as an experiment today, go home, just wrap your hand up or hold it like this, and do everything. This is my right hand, by the way. Whatever hand you use generally, just don't use it. And try to button your shirt. Or do other essentials we won't get into. It's tough. That little thumb that didn't work. I'll tell you what. Every part is necessary. Every part is important. Thumbs, toes are important for the body to function properly. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your gift is. You are necessary. You're important for the proper functioning of the body of Christ. Well, in the body, there's unity. In the body, there's diversity. In the body, there's interdependence. We need each other. And lastly, number four, in the body of Christ, there's sympathetic connection. Sympathetic connection. Verse 26. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Again, the human body, when one member hurts, the whole body hurts, right? You get up at night to go to the bathroom, and you're walking, you stub your toe. Do you ever do that? Anybody ever do that? Oh! Tell you, your whole body hurt. Or better than that, break a rib. Break a rib. Just do break a rib. You know, I broke that rib back in July. And you know, my body was, yeah, it did. And my body was so sympathetic, it stayed up all night to keep my rib company. It did. It was so sympathetic. And you know what the doctors did for me? Right. They didn't do anything. They said, oh, yeah, you got a broken rib. Yeah, the alarm went off. everything, you know? And they said, you got a broken rib, you know? You go home and good luck. Good luck. They don't even wrap them anymore. They used to wrap them. They did nothing. But you know what? It's interesting. When something breaks in your body, what's the body do? It starts healing it. Things start going, processes start, and I don't know all the processes, Mike, but you know, the things rush to that place, and it took my body a while to get it going there, but 2 months later, I was healed. You know what? How like the body of Christ. When a person is hurt in the body, what happens? We go to their aid. I'll tell you, people in this church bring meals. You don't know how much that ministers. People send cards. They give money. How many times do I have people come up and hand me an envelope and say, Pastor, give this to so-and-so. Don't tell them who gave it to you. But I heard that they're having some problems. Give this to them. That's the body. That's the body of Christ visiting people. We have people in this church that will go and sit all day with somebody because they need some company. When one member hurts, we all hurt. And we rush to make it right. And when one member is honored, the body honors that. Body rejoices. You know, it's just like a runner. We have some runners in here. I see one in the back there. Runs marathons. You win a race. They don't give the trophy to your legs. They give you the trophy. They might say, man, what? You know, what legs that person has. Or if a person's pitching, throws a perfect game, they might say, what an arm. But the arm doesn't get the trophy. What? The man gets the trophy, or the woman gets the trophy. Because one part's honored, the whole body rejoices. I saw that. Anybody watch the Ohio State game? I'll tell you. Praise God, one team, or a couple teams only in the Big Ten. At least they won. But Ohio State, Ezekiel Elliott. When he scored, I think he scored four touchdowns. But every time he scored a touchdown, what did they do? Oh, yeah, I wish I'd have scored. No, they went over, yay! They're throwing him up in the air. And you know what he did? I don't know if you saw this, but over in the sideline, they showed him in the sideline, and the offensive line was seated, and he was going down to each one of the members of the offensive line and rejoicing with them and thanking them. You did a great job. That's, you know why? Why'd they do that? Because they're on the same team. And if one is honored, the whole team's honored. We're on the same team. We're in the same body. We're the body of Christ. And there is sympathetic connection in the body of Christ. Well, folks, that's Paul's analogy from anatomy. The human body is one. We have one body, one baptism, one drink. The human body is diverse. We have diversity in the body, diversity in the body of Christ. Many gifts, many talents, many ministries. All are necessary for the proper functioning of the body. The human body is interdependent. The parts, we need each other. The human body has a sympathetic connection. When one part of the body hurts, the whole doggone body hurts. And you know what? When one of us hurt, we're there. And if somebody's honored in this church, somebody it does something great for Jesus, we rejoice. We're not jealous. We're not envious. We're on the same team. You see, we're the body of Christ. He has no other hands than our hands to do his work today. He has no other feet than our feet to show men his way. He has no other voice, listen, than our voice to tell men how he died. He has no other help than our help to lead men to his side. We are the body of Christ. How beautiful. Lord, thank you so much. Thanks so much for this analogy from anatomy. Lord, it is an awesome thought to think, to realize that we are your body. Lord, would you live your life out in us in the coming days? Lord, live through us. And may you be praised. May people see you in us this week. In Jesus' name I pray.